Isn't that, I love that word, appreciate. Do you want to just say that with me? Appreciate. And then I just thought, and do you know what? I appreciate you lot as well. And I wonder if today, before we leave this building, we might just want to say that, you know, just to even just one person. I don't know. But like, can we just let each other know that we really appreciate them? There's a lot in our world that can make us feel unappreciated. Ain't that the truth? I mean, I'm sure if I said, does anyone feel unappreciated this week, maybe a few hands would go up. And that's okay, because that's the truth. But I wonder if we can just appreciate one another. So, yeah. Come on, should we just tell Jesus we appreciate him? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus, I really appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. So much. Well, my biggest challenge this morning is preaching short. Sean, can you time me? Like, that's my biggest challenge. MJ said to me, are you prepared for this morning? I said, yeah, but I don't know how I'm going to preach short. So here we go. You ready? Steady? Go. Right, we're going to look at the Bible. three verses that I just want to look at. Psalm 86, and then Psalm 139, and then Philippians 3. I think it'll be on the screen. So here we go. Psalm 86. Stay with me, stay awake, and we'll see how far we go. David said this. Oh, if you've got your Bible open, I'd love you to say these words with me. Let's not be just, what's the word, spectators? Let's just do this together, right? Come on, say these words with me. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honour you. Isn't that a most beautiful prayer? I can remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I was away on a silent retreat. Can you believe that? I went on a silent retreat. Just, can I say that again? Silent. For 4 days. Does anyone believe that I did it? No. Exactly, does it? There you go, you see. I gave up about 3 hours in and started speaking to the staff in the kitchen. I just couldn't contain myself. But this became a prayer that I prayed on this silent retreat. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth, because I'm already off my notes. Is that all right? I'm already rambling. Because I realized that I was living according to what I thought was true. Let that one just land. Been in church my whole life. And I realized that I needed to humbly come before God and say, teach me your truth. Because it's, yeah, I think it can be hard when we've been in church our whole life. We think it's the truth. It's not always. I'm just going to let that land. Another prayer. Psalm 139. Oh, I can't tell you how much I could say on all these things. But Holy Spirit, you're the best talker. You're better than me. Psalm 139, verse 22. Verse 23. Another prayer that I spent a long time praying. Come on, say these words with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. This is the difficult bit, because if you really pray it, God will take you at your word. So are you ready to pray it? Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. If you don't feel ouchy praying that, then you're not really praying it. Sorry. Like, these things aren't meant to make us always feel comfortable. But can I tell you that it finishes by saying, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So I don't know what truth you might already believe, but I'm going to tell you, if there's any thought process in you that says, God might want to harm me, he's for my bad, he's a killjoy, can I tell you right now, it's a big fat lie, right? And so my prayer for our kids and our young people as they go to camps this summer is that they discover the truth, right? Because a lot of us grew up with some crazy stuff about God. Did anyone grow up with that? I literally grew up with this thing of, you know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a massive screen, and everything bad that you've ever done will be on that screen, so make sure you live right for Jesus. Seriously, I remember hearing stuff like that. Am I the only one, or is anyone else? My brother's nodding at me a little bit, you know. I'm not saying it was said a lot, but there was a lot of fear stuff. And so I just want to say this, that when you say to God, search me, God, is it comfortable? No. But does it lead you to everlasting life? Yeah. Always. Always. I'm so off already. Last verse, Philippians 3, verse 10 to 11. Can we just not tell Gareth the time? Philippians 3, verse 10. Is it a prayer? I don't know. Paul says this. I think it's a prayer. I'm just going to read five words. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Lord Jesus, let the few thoughts that I'm going to share today just land where you need them to land. Some of you will know that I'm at the moment studying a theology degree, and so I've just completed my first year. If anyone wants to give me a little bit of a word for that, thank you. Started off hating it, and I now quite like it, actually. I can't wait to get going again in September on year two. So, three words that have been drummed into me all year. Are you ready for them? Context, context, context. You want to say those words with me? Context, context. Context. So I've written quite a few essays now. I do an essay a month, that's how it's been. And everything I'm studying, everything I'm learning, all I get told is context, context, context. Believe you me, for somebody growing up in church, that's quite hard. It's been really tricky for me because we read the Bible with our eyes. And so actually for me, it's quite a challenge to come to it with fresh eyes and to ask some questions that I've probably never really asked before. You know, who's it being written to? What's it about? What's the historical context? What's the literary context? Jim, you said that word last week, literary context. You know, all these questions really count. And why does it matter? Because you could go, oh, that doesn't matter. I'll tell you why it matters. Because without reading this book in context, and I challenge myself regularly as a preacher, if we don't preach this word and understand the context of it, not only is there a danger that we misunderstand, I mean, that's what's going to happen. If you take something out of context, you misunderstand. But at its worst, and hear me correctly on this, at its worst, we're in danger that this becomes a book that abuses people. Right? And throughout history, we have seen that. We've seen the abuse of Scripture when Scripture is taken out of context. I don't have time this morning to tell you stories, but I would love to maybe pick this up again when I'm preaching another time, because there has been so much spiritual abuse that has taken place because of a misunderstanding of Scripture, where we pluck a verse out and we pluck a word out. Can I tell you as well that it's not just that we abuse one another, but I think we're in danger of abusing God. We take God's name in vain. That's more than swearing. All right, I grew up, don't swear, don't swear, don't swear. Don't swear. The Bible says don't use foul language, right? So if you have a problem with foul language, ask God to help you, because that's not a good thing, right? I'm just saying that. I don't say that in judgment. My dad met Jesus when he was about 16. He had a foul mouth. This is his testimony. And overnight, his mouth changed, and he never uttered a foul word ever since. So the Bible says be careful. But when it says don't take God's name in vain, it's actually not saying, oh, I mustn't say, oh, God, you know, I mustn't do that. It's actually, what are we accrediting to God that God said, oh, I never said that? What are we? I remember one day I was just chatting to God, and I often in my chatting to God say to him, God, how do you feel about that? Can I encourage you to add that into your prayer life? Have you asked God this week how he is? Yeah, come on, should we be mature Christians that ask him, how are you, God? How do you feel about that? We're good at telling God how we feel. How does God feel? One day I asked him, how do you feel? And he said, I feel a bit hurt, Sarah. He said, because people are putting blame at my feet, and I never said that. I never said I'd do that, or I never said I was that, and people are chucking it all at me, and I say, God, I'm sorry. So context. Come on, say those words with me again. Context. Context, context, context. So all year, that's what I've had drummed into me, because we need to be careful. It matters. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, you find that book of Timothy, he talks to Timothy, this young pastor, leader of a church, and he says, make sure that you handle God's word correctly. And can I just tell you, that's a challenge for church leaders, it's a challenge for all of us, right? Let's not abuse the word of God. Let's handle it correctly. Let's use it wisely. Let's understand the context. And if you're not sure, then let's ask one another. That's why it's so important to be in connect groups, to be in fellowship with one another, that we just journey life together. Context, context, context. Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians 3. He prays over the church. I pray that you would grow in wisdom and knowledge. Well, I pray that for us at Harbour. God, may we grow in our understanding of your word and who you are and the truth of that. But here's the second thing I want to say. If context is true for how we read the Bible, then I want to tell you this morning, and this is my pastor heart coming out now, so just allow me 5 minutes. It's true for how we read one another's lives as well. I'm going to say that again. If context, context, context is true for how we read the Bible, so that we don't misunderstand and abuse it and we don't abuse one another, then I want to suggest to you as well that context is true for how we read one another's lives. Did you know that we read each other? Like, you're reading me right now. If you're here for the first time, it's great to see you, and so you're already reading me. You make some assumptions, some, let's call it judgment. You know, that's what we do. It's what we do. Come on, to not do that, that's what we do. It's how we're wired up. And so that's okay. It's what we do. But I want to just bring a pastoral message to us this morning that says this. Because I wonder how often, and can I just tell you this? Don't ever think that if anyone's up here holding this microphone and speaking, that God hasn't already shone his light on us. Can I just tell you that? So that it's never this. It's always a God examine me first. I wouldn't dare. I mean this. God, you know I mean this. I wouldn't dare say anything that I'm not walking myself. Can you hear my heart on that? All right. So here's the challenge. How often have we misunderstood one another? How often have we taken one another's lives out of context and we've made assumptions, wrong assumptions, we've misinterpreted things, we've judged things, simply because we haven't taken the time to properly stop, to properly look, and to properly listen, and to properly try and understand one another's context. You still awake? You still with me? I wonder how much damage has been done over the years because assumptions were made and lives were read out of context. In the last year, heard the story, or rather was in conversation with two beautiful ladies that had been reunited, both in their 80s. Literally, it was like a friends reunited. It was beautiful. And I had the privilege of just watching this sort of reunion, if you want to call it that, of two beautiful ladies that had served together in their 20s on the mission field in Africa. And beautiful. And later discovered in conversation with both of them, separate conversations, that both of them had lost touch because they had assumed something of one another that just wasn't true. If I asked for hands up, everyone would have their hand up right now. Am I telling the truth? We all would, because that's life. We make assumptions, we assume things, and how tragic that years can go by. And this one particular lady with tears in her eyes, she's in her 80s, and she said to me, if I'd only stopped long enough to understand why I wasn't hearing back, because this particular lady was writing letters and she wasn't getting a reply and she took it the wrong way. And then when she understood the context of why and the particular season this lady was in, suddenly her eyes were opened. Does that ever happen to you? Go down the road assuming something and then all of a sudden you realize and you just go, oh, if only I'd known. Oh, now it makes sense. Oh, now I understand. Oh, wow. Wow, now I get it. God, as I'm just speaking this word, would you just help us all that we grow in our maturity of reading one another? And how do we do that? We understand one another's context, because context matters. If it matters when we read the Bible, it matters the way we read one another's lives. How often have I, Sarah Weber, judged a situation, a person, only later to hear the context and suddenly go, wow, now I get it. And do you know the New Testament writers knew this? Jesus himself spoke around all of this. It's why the Bible, oh, listen to me, young people, and you'll get to listen to me once, I think, at camp. I want to tell you this. The Bible is the wisest book. There's not a thing about life that the Bible doesn't cover. Isn't that the truth? So it's a big old book, and it's daunting to read, but I want to tell you, everything for life and wisdom is contained in the scriptures. Everything. Somebody needs to say amen to that. And so Jesus himself, come on, Sarah, rattle through them. Some of the things Jesus said, Matthew 7. Oh, if you want to know what Jesus said, read the sermon on the mountain, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus said this, do to others as you would like to be treated, right? Treat others as you want to be treated. Jesus said this. In fact, I'm going to read it because I'd rather you hear Jesus' words than mine. And if you've got a Bible, come and open it to Matthew chapter 7, because I think some of these scriptures are good. Well, I don't think some of them. I think they're all good. I think they're all good, not just some of them. Jesus' words, if it's in red, don't you think you need to read the red? You're very quiet this morning. Do you want to hear what Jesus said? Do not judge others, and you won't be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard that you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. A bit ouchy, isn't it? But actually, if we live it, it sets us free. So why do you worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you've got a log in your own? Don't you just love Jesus' humour? If you've ever seen any of the gospel sort of videos that are put in, there's some hilarious imagery of this. You know, as Jesus is just having a laugh and using some real sarcastic humour here. He says, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you have a massive log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Wow. Jesus is saying here, come on, don't make assumptions. He's saying here, just understand the context. Don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to draw your opinion. Just pause. Just pause and actually get the context. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, oh, it was his prayer. God, I just want them to love one another. He said, love one another. Just love one another. This is my Father's will, and it's my command to you. In Matthew 6, verse 14, right at the end of the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus is teaching them how to pray, he says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So Jesus has got loads of wisdom. I could give you so many scriptures, loads of wisdom as to how we read one another's lives in context. And then Paul just, I mean, you've only just got to look at 1 Corinthians 13. That's enough. But all of Paul's letters contain advice to churches about how we treat one another, prefer one another, cheer one another on, love one another. If you see your brother struggling, go and warn him, go and help him. That's called love. In fact, don't turn a blind eye to things, because that's not love. Have the courage, if you're in relationship, be careful who you do it to, but where there's relationship and there's trust, have the courage. See, Jesus didn't say don't talk about the speck in the friend's eye. He said just deal with your stuff first and then you can go and deal with the speck. I've got specks in my eye. Oh, I pray I've got some friends that can get rid of the specks in my eye, right? But here's the deal. Deal with the log. Deal with the log. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, he lists this beautiful description of what love is. It's patient, it's kind, it's not selfish, it forgives, it doesn't hold on to grudges. And would you have a look at it later? I don't have time to read it. And what Paul is doing here is he's saying this, oh, church, read one another's lives in context. Read the context of one another's lives. We need to be people that take time to understand and see one another through the lens of heaven, not the lens of earth. Because here's the context for every single one of you, and I'd almost like you to look at the person next to you and say this. The context for your life is the grace of God. Come on. The context, grace. Come on, would you just look at one another and go, grace. Don't just look at the people that you like. Look at the people you might struggle with. Grace. No, I'm serious. Yeah, you don't know where to look now. I've said that, do you? Grace. That's the context, friends. Because can I tell you the good news? The context for Sarah Weber is I'm a work in progress. So when you look at me, I have many faults. And I'll get on your nerves sometimes. My daughter told me that this week. I'll get on your nerves. And there's things about my personality that grate some of you. There just is. That's called life. But I want to tell you this, when we can humbly come before God every day and like David say, search me, God, try me. If there's anything in me that's offensive, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might walk in your truth. What happens is that we're able to bring that part of our character and our personality to Almighty God who's perfect. And we're able to say, God, I want to see through your lens. So that when I look at these people, although my immediate human thinking might be that, I'm immediately able to go, grace. But the grace of God and the grace of God and the grace of God and the grace of God. Because I want to tell you, friends, wherever you're at right now, now, you're not staying there. Jesus is working in you. You're not finished yet. The best is to come. We are all works in progress, and Jesus is saving us. And so Paul said this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. He said, so now we don't see one another from a human perspective. That's what he said, 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, it's a brilliant chapter. Have a look at it later, where it talks about the fact that we've been given new bodies, that we are a new creation. And he says, because we're a new creation, we no longer view one another from a human point of view. Can you imagine what Harbour Church would be like if we didn't view one another from a human point of view? Seriously, can you imagine what your home would be like if you didn't view one another from a human point of view? Sarah, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, this is the design of God for us, that we view one another from his perspective. And as I conclude, I'm concluding. Dave, you can come up. It means nothing, but you can come up. Just come up. The trouble is that the more music, the longer I go on often, don't I? But come up, because it'll encourage everyone. Come up. It'll make everyone feel better. And in theory, well, it is good psychology. And in theory, that means I have finished now. Can you stop the clock? Yeah? All in favour? Because this is now just the leading into that, you know. This is all the... Dave, if you wanted, you could sing that indescribable song again. Up to you. But anyway, sorry, look, I'm interfering now. I'm just like, you know. Dave's probably going, she right gets on my nerves, that one. Oh. Oh. See me from a heavenly lens, Dave. See me from a heavenly lens. Next time I'm straightening the chairs, see it from a heavenly lens, all right? Next time I'm... Here's the bit I most want to land as the music strikes up. How do we read God? So I've talked about how do we read scripture? How do we read one another? And what are my three words? Half of you are asleep. Let's try that again. So when you read this, what are you looking for? If you don't understand, chat to Mary Jane. She's got all the answers. All I'm saying is when you read the Bible, just look around. Look at the other verses around. You know, it cracks me up. I mean, here's an example. I'm already off again. Anyway, here's an example. You know, every time there's a prayer meeting that's only got a few in it, every leader encourages himself. Thank you, Lord, that two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there. Oh, talk about a verse out of context. That's completely out of context. Because the context for that verse isn't about when we pray together or we worship together. It's about when you've got a disagreement and you're coming together and you're putting it right. Do you know what? Jesus, oh, I want to tell you this. I'm so off on one now. Jesus is most present when there's restoration going on. Did you know that? That's where he's most present. What were his final words on the cross? Oh, God, forgive them. Jesus is most present. I've discovered this. Only a handful of times have I had the, I'm going to call it a privilege, where I've been in environments of mediation. And I've just, and even within my own life, a few years ago, I had to humbly go and just sit with somebody and just repent before them. The presence of God was tangible. Tangible. Is anyone hearing me? That's where he is. Not when we've gathered for a prayer meeting and we're trying to make ourselves feel better because only a few have rocked up. Context. Context. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Lovely verse. Context. Money. It's about money. God's asking whether I've got a lot, whether I've got little. God's asking me to give. My money belongs to him. Have you said that this week? Jesus, my money is yours. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Context. Are you understanding me this morning? When you read the Bible, read it in context. Let's not be immature Christians that pluck a verse out of the air because it makes us feel fluffy and good. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Oh, we love that verse. Brilliant. Context. 70 years. 70 years in exile. And in the middle of that, God says, I've got your back. Brilliant. Context. Read the Bible in context. And what about each other? Let's read one another's lives in context. See, Sean might annoy me this morning. He might just say something that just annoys me. I can use him. He just might do that. And I have a choice. I then either leave this place going, well, that's Sean. Or I just pause and go, Sean, all right? Is there something going on in his world? What are the verses before Sean today and after Sean? Is there something just going on in his world right now? Quite a few years ago, many, many years ago actually, about 10 years ago, somebody got very upset with me because I hadn't been in touch with them. Really upset with me. Got texts and galore. You get that as a church leader, I'm just saying. I've had quite a few of those over the years. And do you know, it was Gareth who came to my defence. And he got, oh, it makes me a bit emotional saying it, and he got in touch with this person. And he said, if you knew the context of what Sarah's going through right now, it was at the time when my dad had been diagnosed with dementia and he was very poorly. And they said, if you knew the context, you wouldn't be getting stressed with Sarah that she hasn't answered your texts. And friends, we've got to get better at this. We've got to get better at understanding the context of one another's lives. And if you struggle to do that for yourself, would you find a friend? I have no problem defending you lot. If you want me to defend you in anything, I'll do that. I can get a bit raw if I have to, right? Context, context, context. The context of God? Oh, he's perfect. The context of God, he is love. The context of God is he is always good. The context of God is he always has the best for you. The context of God is he is almighty, he is sovereign, he is great, he always will be. The context of God, he is faithful, he can't be anything else. The context of God, he is patient, he is kind. Oh, come on, some of you need to be talking to me. Come on, declare the context of God, because you have an enemy that wants to come along and describe God in a different way to the words that I'm using right now. You have an enemy that wants to come along to you and say, did God say? Is God good? Is he kind? Has he got your back? And you need to have such knowledge of him that you're able to say, context of God, he is good. Context of God, he is faithful. Context of God, he is truth. He can never lie. Context of God, he's my perfect heavenly father. Context of God. Context of God. And so often we come to God and our relationship with God is through our context, or it's through Abby's context, it's through Lucy's context. We come through the eyes of other people and we see God through their lens, and this morning I want us to smash those lenses and come with the context of God and who he is, that we see him for all of his truth and all of his brilliance, not our context but his context. And so David says this, teach me your truth that I might walk in your ways. Oh, I want to know you. Jesus prayed, oh, that they might be one, that they might love one another. Shall we stand to our feet in this place? And shall we just appreciate Jesus with this song again that says he's indescribable? If we'd had time this morning, I was going to ask us to watch that wonderful YouTube clip that is this amazing American guy preaching. And he starts declaring, that's my king, that's my king. Has anyone heard that? Give me a wave, you know it, don't you? So why don't you just go home and watch it yourself? I was going to ask us to watch it, but the time's gone. But I want you to know, my king, he's the king of the universe. My king, he's the Lord of all creation. My king, there's no words to describe him. My king is brilliant. My king is my savior. My king is perfect. My king is love. This is the context of who he is. Let's worship together as we sing this song and declare he's indescribable. He's perfect in all of his ways.